What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals, and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Daily's dirty.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I like a good time. I like to have a party.
I know you do.
It's Dirty's Daily.
Yeah, it is one of them old Reaction Monday kind of parties. Last little Reaction Monday after the Texans lose to the Chiefs on Saturday. They're out of the playoffs. The season, 2024-25 season, has come to an end. And once again, the Texans lose in the second round of the playoffs. I got to tell you, though, boys, to be completely honest with you, I feel 10 times better right now than I felt last year at this point in time. Last year, I wasn't real sure what progress was made. Obviously, they were a better football team because they had C.J. Stroud, Will Anderson, D'Amico Ryans. Obviously, they had 10 wins, and they've gone to the second round of the playoffs. But, boy, when you just get skull-drugged by Baltimore, I'm not sure that all the other stuff mattered. You still were miles away from being in the class of the top of the AFC. You know, this year the season didn't go as planned. However, you still get in the dance. You get in the playoffs. You win in the first round again. You get to the second round. You got to go to Arrowhead, play Pat Mahomes, Andy Reid, and the Kansas City Chiefs in their place. And you were competitive. You were competitive. You can literally watch that game film and say, damn, if we wouldn't have done this, 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 and that, or if we'd have done this, 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 and that better, we would have had a chance to literally be playing in the AFC Championship game. You were competitive with the best that the NFL has to offer. And I'm going to tell you.
That's why the Chiefs frustrate teams, isn't it? I feel like a lot of teams walk away feeling that way.
Yeah, I mean, especially now. It used to be, you know, Pat Mahomes-centric and offensive explosive that you got teams that, like, defenses. I mean, you got opponents completely out of their own skin before you ever took the field. Now you go out there going, hey, man, we got a chance. We feel pretty good about being able to slow Pat down a little bit, but then you end up.
It's crazy. People still, in their mind, visualize that. They ain't been that in a while.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Like, they've been just scoring. Again, they have only scored 31. They've never been over 30. They've done it twice. Just 3-0. Over it.
Yeah, it's wild, man. But anyway, I feel better being a Texans fan right now than I did last year after a playoff loss. Losing sucks, no doubt about it. But the team is definitely trending in the right direction. I love the comments that D'Amico Ryans had. By the way, not necessarily today as much as what he had to say post-game. Absolutely loved it. Sounds like he's turning a corner, going to hold some guys accountable. Hopefully that's just not a off-season thing. Hopefully that's a way of doing business moving forward for D'Amico Ryans. We shall see. But I got a list here. And of course, it's a negative list. You got your ass kicked. And beyond the referees that we talked about at length earlier in the show, there are several self-inflicted wounds. There's several situations that I don't know how in week 20 we are still seeing certain things, right? How in the hell are we still seeing certain things out of the offense and out of the defense, right? A little earlier on, I talked about we're still full slide protecting. Talking about pass protection. We're taking the offensive line and turning every offensive lineman hard left or hard right and asking Dalton Schultz to block the man on the end of the line of scrimmage opposite that full slide. I mean, think about that for a minute. In critical situations, this offensive line slides to the highest paid person on this football team, or at least on the offense, in Laramie Tunsil.
And I'll give Laramie, he didn't need help. I don't remember Laramie getting really beat. Chris Jones over there a lot.
Didn't need help. That's my point. That's what makes this whole full slide thing to the best protector, and one of the best protectors in the league, makes it crazy that they're doing it. right? To the side where the running back is, right? To the side where all your receivers are, where guys have to cover a man. They can't blitz. They got to cover a man at the very least, right? Just doesn't make sense. And then the cherry on top is to have any protection in the playbook. Week 20, where Dalton Schultz is responsible for blocking a defensive end or any edge rusher outside linebacker is criminal. I cannot believe that we saw that again beyond the Minnesota game. And I should have known it, Ron. I should have knew it when Bobby Slowick stepped his ass up there to that podium and said, oh, every team in the NFL does it. Our guys got to be able to do it. We got to execute. I should have known.
Tough week to see it come back so prevalent.
I should have known that it was going to come back. Bottom line is, I cannot believe in the most critical moment of the Texans season. Season on the line, win or go home, down eight multiple times in a three-play sequence. Dalton Schultz ends up on Karloftis, who clearly, after the first time, if you didn't see it enough, why would you go back to it at that point? It just blows my mind that we're still seeing that. That's number one. Number two, right, we just talked about it last segment. I don't want to spend a ton of time on it, Ron, but D'Amico Ryan's never making the adjustment to handle Travis Kelce over the middle of the field at any point in time in that game is mind-blowing. Asking Miles Bryant, who is, for being honest, he's the third or fourth best nickel defender on this team, asking Miles Bryant and middle linebackers, not even Christian Harris, Azeez Al-Shaair, to account for the best pass-catching tight end the game has ever seen.
Honestly,
blows my mind.
Clint, how many different other things could he have done? After, understand, as you said earlier, you got a game plan. All right, we're going to play zone. We're going to do that. But what other things could he have done besides the Miles Bryant, that seemed to be the adjustment. It feels like there were like eight other things he could have done.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you
any of the other corners.
Really, at this, when you're coming out of half, like it's time to go for it on fourth and ten. It's time to pull out all stops. It's time to figure some things out. And you know, for me, the fact that there was no adjustment is the story here. It's not about, boy, well, I would have put Derek Stingley Jr. on him, or I would have put
Christian Harris.
If you're gonna continue to play zone and you've got zero, Azeez Al-Shaair's been in and out of the game with an injury, put Christian Harris in there. The best thing he does is cover skills.
Range,
right? Yep. Which, by the way, the problem wasn't Azeez Al-Shaair was in good position a couple of times. It was the field, right? For some reason, I don't know if he was reading Mahomes' eyes and Mahomes moved him with his eyes, but it was the field. He didn't feel the tight end coming over the top of him. And so, I don't know, man. I think there were several other things that could have been done. Not that they would have worked. They may not have worked. It may have exposed him on the outside, and Worthy and Hollywood Brown may have had big games. I don't know. But the thought that we're just going to continue as we're going, and that dude is on the same page with Pat Mahomes, and we've read that book before, we've seen that movie before, it ends in losing every single time. If he's getting off, the Chiefs ain't getting beat. It's that simple. And so the fact that D'Amico never adjusted that absolutely blows my mind. Both of those two, the full slide, pass protection, Dalton Schultz accountable for a D-end, and then not adjusting to Travis Kelce. Those two, to me, are the two most egregious, like, what the hell moments that we saw. Now, I got a few more, though, Ron. How we are this deep in the season, and Dare Ogunbowale is still our third down back. And not only our third down back, Ron, but also when you get into a hurry-up situation, when you get into a two-minute situation, like when you're down two scores late in the game versus Kansas City, he becomes your every down back.
Yeah.
How?
Yeah.
How, Ron? How does that happen? How does it happen when you have no Diggs, have no Tank?
He's the best protector?
I don't know, but he's not a better pass protector. He's not capable of protecting the same way that Joe Mixon does, because Joe Mixon is bigger and heavier.
He got beat for a sack on one of the blitzes.
It doesn't make sense, man. I watched the Rams game, right? The Rams The Eagles try to give the game to the Rams. I mean, they tried multiple times giving the game to the Rams, leaving points on the field constantly. But the Rams get down two scores. And I look out there, and they're going up and down the field, and their running back the whole time is Kyren Williams, the guy that's been hot, the best playmaker they got out of the backfield. He's in the game. And I'm thinking, in our situation, we got Dare Agunbowale out there. No disrespect to Dare Agunbowale. I relate more to him as a journeyman, as a special teams guy, as a depth player, than any of them. But the reality of it is we're in a position where it's win or go home, and we got Dare Agunbowale on the field instead of Joe Mixon in a win or go home situation. In a situation where he's your second best weapon on the field, without a doubt, behind Nico Collins. Like, how are we still in this situation? How? It just doesn't make sense, man. It makes zero sense. And we've been talking about this on this show for 2 months.
And unless there was an ankle issue with Joe, he should have been on the whole time.
No question.
Yeah, just empty the tank right now.
It's nuts, man. And then also on the offensive side of the football, the rest of these are on the offensive side of the football, so buckle up, Bobby Slowick. Nico Collins went in motion one time in that game, I believe. Nico Collins was stationary. Break the huddle, identify where 12 is at, and we're not going to move him but one time. I don't even know how many snaps they had, but we're not going to move him but one time. And it was early on in the game, and it was a run to Joe Mixon. But we're not going to move him. We're going to set his ass right wherever he lines up when we break the huddle. Y'all can zero in on him. Y'all can double him with a safety and a corner. You can double him with a nickel and a corner. You can run your linebacker smooth underneath him on them little underneath routes. Like, leaving Nico stationary all but one snap of that football game is absolutely criminal. If I'm DeMeco Ryans, I got a bunch of questions about this game, but I'm sitting down with Bobby and I'm going, Bobby, if we can't do no better than this, I got to move on. Bobby, if this is the protection that you go to when we're getting heated up and the season's on the line, is Dalton Schultz. I'll deal with Dalton later. Like, Dalton's got some issues himself. It's absolutely disgusting watching him play football.
Is there a scenario where if Chris Jones chose to go outside there, it would have been Dalton versus Chris Jones?
Oh, yeah. I don't know what's triggering their slide, because clearly it's not schematically what makes sense. It may have been 95.
Might have been him sliding to him.
They're just sliding to him no matter what.
Spags knows that.
I didn't look at it. I didn't look at it from that through that lens. But it may be. But the leaving Nico Collins stationary. And here's the thing. Here's the thing with DeMeco watching it, right? Is DeMeco doesn't have to look far to see what a coordinator should be doing if he's trying to get a wide receiver a touch. Because Andy Reid, every time he wanted to get Worthy the football, that sucker was motioning all over the place. It looked like arena football motion. He's going back behind the quarterback, swinging around. It was wild. And the whole time, we got Nico Collins over there stationary. Now, the camera kept panning over there, and Nico Collins was dealing with something, obviously. So maybe they were trying to keep him from having to run too much.
Oh, first half.
But that was unacceptable. And then, last but not least, Shaq Mason.
What was that?
I don't know, Ron, which adjustment or lack thereof is more damning. The defense not accounting for Travis Kelce, or the offense not putting Juice Scruggs in the game?
Oh, it's the Shaq Mason decision for me. Hell, I mean,
the decision from jump or not to replace him. Yeah,
from jump. Hell, all we saw a lot was practice all week. It was juice. And then that game day, I said, the only thing that makes you concerned is maybe they say to themselves, boy, we need that veteran presence in there. And I'll be damned, that's exactly what they said. Like, a little Kelce can, obviously, he's a great, great player and a first ballot Hall of Famer that sometimes may just get his a little with Mahomes.
Yeah.
But you could have made the decision there. And then you just said to hell with the man, I'm just going to live in it. They could have changed it. They could have adjusted. I'm just going to live in it. And they just, the whole way. Yeah, he was.
Well, one more on the special teams, because special teams were absolutely awful. But I think the topic here is the Boyd. Obviously, the special teams gives up the big kick return. Boyd thinks he makes a play, even if he would have made the play, taking your helmet off and throwing it across the field and getting the 15-yard penalty was dumb as hell either way it goes. He called it lit emotion. I'm like, come on, what are we doing, man?
They named it lit emotion?
No, that's what he was asked what it was or something.
He said lit emotion?
He said just lit emotions.
Oh, Tyler, we got to keep that. We got to get that.
Yeah,
lit emotion.
Silly, man. But nonetheless, a lot of confusion. I didn't know whether he was shoving the special teams coordinator, Frank Ross, out of frustration.
Who didn't know? Frank didn't.
Frank had no clue.
Especially when it followed up with a point down.
Yeah. So I didn't know. The more I watched, the more it looked like it was out of frustration. Here's D'Amico Ryans talking about, after the game, by the way, D'Amico Ryans said he didn't see it. Clearly, he's gone back and seen it since. Here's D'Amico Ryans explaining how he saw it.
I did not see that.
No, that was post-game. He talked about it today.
Yeah, I don't have it today, man.
Okay. Today he said it was a...
He said he didn't see it yesterday?
As soon as the game was over, he said he didn't see it. He said today in his presser that it was a celebration. D'Amico answered it right. He said in the beginning, he said, look, I don't give a damn what he does. He can't throw his helmet and get a 15-yard penalty. He said, but the push was out of celebration, and they got a little aggressive, but it was out of celebration. So, for those out there wondering, Boyd did not, he wasn't frustrated or trying to fight Frank Ross.
Let me tell you what. We got to establish some boundaries on celebration.
I'm with you.
Hey, you can't two-hand shove me and almost take me off my damn feet. No celebration. I ain't got no damn pads.
I'm with you. That was the more I looked at it, too. The interesting thing was, like, it was hard to tell because, right, Frank Ross is looking like, one, he just saw him throw his helmet. Two, we didn't recover the fumble, idiot. So Frank Ross has nothing to celebrate.
He ended it once he grabbed him. It was over for him.
Right. Well, he thought he caused the fumble and we got it.
I know it. I'm just saying, once he hit him, and that ball came out, it was over for him.
Oh, yeah, he got straight up. He didn't even try to fight for it. He got straight up, ran to the sideline. Look at me, coach. I'm lit.
I'm ready to play.
Look at me, coach. I'm lit, man. What are you doing?
You say, are they ready to go right off the bat? Well, okay. All right, champ. All right, coming up as we continue here, we will continue reacting to this game with the Texans and the Chiefs, but let's react to the rest of the weekend and the other game in the AFC. The big one of the weekend, simple this, and we'll discuss it on the other side. Did Lamar do anything to change his playoff legacy? Did he change the narrative? Did his game at all yesterday change the narrative of how you look at Lamar in the playoffs? We'll discuss that.
It's a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back into The Drive as we continue to react here. And we've been reacting to the tough loss for the Texans as they finish off 10-7. Excuse me, winning a playoff game, winning the division, and their season ends in Kansas City as we keep rolling through. I said this, though, as we continue to react to everything that happened this weekend. The other game was kind of the game of the day, the game of the weekend, which was last night's AFC divisional round game up in Buffalo, in which the Bills win 27-25. Lord have mercy, I hope. Mark Andrews is in a decent spot.
Call me Mark. I've been there, man. I dropped one myself.
Mark had a couple, though. Well, Mark had the fumble.
I can talk him off the cliff.
You see him on that sideline. He looked like he didn't know what to do. He sat there for a little bit, then he threw his helmet on. Then he was in a rough spot. But even for him being a tight end, he know he's probably not going to get a lot of the heat because a lot of it's going to come to Lamar. And Lamar yesterday was 18-25, 254, two touchdowns, one pick, one fumble as well that was returned by Von Miller. He only had 6 carries for 39 yards, which is strange for him. But he had the 2 big turnovers, Clint, which has been an issue in his postseason starts. And the narrative for Lamar is he doesn't play well in the postseason. He doesn't play the same way that he does in the regular season. where he potentially could win a third MVP, it drops, and he causes is a big major reason why the team loses games. And I'm wondering, with the performance yesterday, did he change that narrative? Because he brought him all the way back, the drive to get there, and Lord knows, Clint, he couldn't have walked the ball out there any better to Mark Andrews that would have tied the game. And obviously, we see what Josh would have done in a little over a minute. But did it change anything? Someone texted in, no, Lamar did what I knew he'd do, which is why I don't listen to people shoveling praise on him during the season. Did he change it at all for you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think every playoff loss that's not in the Super Bowl or an AFC championship is going to change the narrative, if you will. But that's just a sign of how great the guy is. Or how great he can be in the big scheme of things. I think when you look at Lamar, when you look at Pat, when you look at Josh, when you look at Joe Burrow, these guys have kind of established themselves as the greats in the league, and they are carrying their team. I think there's something to be said. Now, look, he didn't play well in the first half, as you mentioned, with the turnover, and I think the fumble. Was it a fumble in the first half or third quarter?
I can't remember.
But
where it was. I think it's in, you know, it was in the first half.
I think it led to it in the first half.
It led to a touchdown.
Mark Andrews was in a fourth quarter.
Buffalo only scored 6 points.
He didn't play well enough in the first quarter to win the ball game. But he's good enough, and they were good enough to come back and make it interesting. And then when you look at the Mark Andrews fumble over the middle of the field, you look at the Mark Andrews, you know, drop on the 2-point conversion. I do believe that there's something there in a Lamar Jackson conversation of like, hey man, like it's you're the dude, you're the one that has ownership in this thing, and when your team doesn't perform up to snuff, it's going to all come back on you.
I think, and especially if you were in a part of.
Well, yeah. There's something about, and I mean this as a compliment. There's something about, like, when you're talking about that level of quarterback, like there's something about the dude that prepares, plays, and lifts the guys around him's play to a level to where they don't make those kind of mistakes and cost you games. Not that I would hold that against Lamar, but I would definitely put that feather in the cap of Pat Mahomes and Tom Brady and the guys that their team does rise to the occasion time and time again. And Lamar's just got to get there for it. You know, that was a tough.
Yeah, because
tough loss yesterday,
if
man.
If Andrews catches that ball,
yeah.
Now Lamar has taken them down the field in winning time and tied the ball game up, needing a touchdown, a two-point conversion. And then maybe if they win, it's a complete different conversation.
Well, it's a badge of honor. You know what I mean? It's like, not only did he win in dramatic fashion late, but he overcame all this other crap. You know, that's just how the game's played. Though when you got two of the best matched up, two top MVP candidates, when they're matched up, I mean that's typically how it unfolds.
And for me, man, Clint, I hate it, man, because I love Lamar. I'm a big Lamar fan. I think he made too many mistakes to come off of what the conversation has been about him, right? Like, you can almost sit there and say, man, in a game that was going to be tight, two heavyweights, two really good teams, like one team's quarterback didn't make costly mistakes and errors that led to points, and his did.
Yep.
Like his and his did. Like, it's just a bad one, like trying to do too much, and then you're sitting there and you just get stripped out of nowhere on a play. You got nothing. You just get stripped, and then Von Miller picks it up and runs it 30 yards the other way and sets him right up to score. So it's tough, because I do think eye test wise, Lamar played better than he has in some of these other games. Like, he played much better than he played in the AFC Championship game last year. You know, it's just, you come out of there 39 yards rushing. Like, that part, too. Yeah. Like, you didn't.
Well, it's the other part of it, too, which I think is probably a tad bit unfair, but it's the reality of it. And I didn't even see, I saw the highlights of the ending of Derrick Henry dropping the ball. I don't remember I don't recall what kind of throw that was or how it happened, but it was low and behind him, right? And then you look if you really look at the Mark Andrews throw, I mean it's back hip low and dying. Whereas I mean that play is it pops immediately, and he literally could have just did like an alley oop to the damn corner of the end zone, and it would have been, or the front pylon, and it would have been a touchdown. It's made more difficult because of the way he throws the football, and so people are going to overanalyze that. And then you add that to the interceptions. The location of the throw. You either deal with that, or you had a classic great comeback and knocked Josh Allen out of the playoffs. There's no in between. That's just the reality of where those guys are at right now.
Yep, there it is. All right, T Mills best bets coming up here in a bit, and we'll talk about the big story, especially here in Houston, coming from that Texans Chiefs game, and that is the two calls. What impact did they have in the game? We'll discuss all of that coming up next.
It's a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back in to a Reaction Monday coming up behind us here at 5 o'clock. The Coach's Show, the final one of the season. The Coach's Show with D'Amico Ryans. That will follow us as soon as we get done here after T-Mill's Best Bets. And we sign off. D'Amico Ryans, you won't want to miss that as that comes up behind us. As well as Area 45, 6 to 8. I'm excited. Area 45, 8 to midnight. I'm excited to hear those fellas after the game. Should be entertaining with Sean Bajani, Patrick Creighton, and Chris Santiago. So that's all coming up behind us. All right, before we get to T-Mill's best bets, see if you can make some money. Big national championship game tonight. I'll be honest. I think I'm rooting for Sean's Notre Dame Fighting Irish. I think there's a part of me. I'm rooting for a competitive game, but. But I think I'm rooting for Sean's Fighting Irish to kind of win this thing. I like Big Marcus. I saw him, boy. They got dressed up yesterday, and he went with that checkerboard jacket at Ryan Day. But that boy Marcus Freeman just looking clean over there, boy.
Yeah, it's a little bit unfair when you start talking about the look of the head coaches. I mean, it's like Day's over there. He needs that damn hair filler for his beard and his hairline. And
he gave it everything he had.
He got old scary look to him, and Freeman looking over there like Rico Suave, cool as hell.
Easy with that look. But a big one tonight.
Ryan Day would have definitely hung out with Marcus Freeman back in the day and took the scraps.
Oh yeah, took them strays. I'm right here, baby. Took them strays. I was a professional straight taker. All right. All right, listen, man. The thing that has probably been talked about the most around here has been the two calls on Mahomes. And I want to get it right out of the gate, as I think I know where Clint is. I think I know where Tyler is. It's Tyler's players of the game was to the officiating crew. His institute players of the game was to the officiating crew.
Hell of a divisional round for you fellas.
But it was the two calls. And listen, I understand what Walt Anderson, former VP of official, said on NFL Network, and said they were both technically properly called. I don't agree. I think they were bad calls. And if they would have gone back to replay assist, if there wasn't any kind of slight contact or whatever to the helmet and picked it up, I would have been good with it. I think they were bad calls. It's just for me, when you score 12 points in a game and you take an absolute dump in the middle of the field in almost in every single way in special teams, like, it is hard for me to then move to this impacted winning in the game, and to the point that it now that the league or these officials are in cahoots with the Chiefs and trying to purposely help the Chiefs win games. When you go to those spaces, that's one. I'm as Clint would say, I'll just get off the lane, which is and have another beer at least sometime. Because sometimes I am intrigued to hear people explain the conspiracy, but the other one, man, I just, like, it's hard for me to see how this was the thing that would have changed the game of winning for the Texans. But I do, again, I think they were bad calls. I didn't like the call.
Yeah, look, here's the thing is, I've never have been a ref guy. Blame it on the refs. Blame it on the bad calls. in this particular, and in fact, I've been so far on the other side of that, like I don't even, I refuse to have the conversations, typically. However, I feel strongly enough about this one, like you got to lead the conversation with this one, in my opinion, right? The calls were absolutely horrendous. Just generally speaking, each call together, the second one was unbelievable. The first one, they had to find evidence to make it even make sense of how you could even throw the flag in the first place. I think the calls were absolutely horrendous, right? When you are a team that is playing against the Kansas City Chiefs at their place in that environment, and you are 9.5-point dogs, the climb in order to beat that team is so steep to begin with that these kind of calls are absolutely crippling. You look at both calls, one of them, the drive continued and led to a field goal when it would have been a punt, so there's 3 points that would not have happened. And then the second one, now it was first down when it happened, so it just gave them a first down.
Second and five.
And it flipped the field for them. It got them across midfield and ultimately just gave them the 15-yard line. It just gave them 15 yards. But that drive continued into a touchdown. I personally just believe that it's damn near impossible as a 9.5-point dog to go on the road and beat Kansas City as it is. And then when you add these kinds of obstacles, I think it's borderline impossible. Now you go on, and Texans did not play well. As you mentioned, there were several reasons why they didn't win. I don't have a problem with acknowledging that. I don't believe you can exclude the two calls when talking about why the Texans lost. They were a huge part of this football game. And so if we're talking about it just like in the moment of this game and how it impacted this game, I think they were horrendous. I think they crippled the Texans. I think they stole the momentum that they allowed the Chiefs to take momentum from them early in the game when they were clearly in much more of a rhythm than the Chiefs were. And so I think there's a conversation about the game and how it impacted the game, and there's also a conversation, Ron, about what Pat Mahomes is up to and how the league views this thing.
Yeah, and then that's where I think it's quarterbacks, and a lot of quarterbacks are in this. And again, to me, on both cases, what you're talking about with Mahomes and the Chiefs, like someone just texted in, it's every single week. Watch next Sunday. There will be at least 2 to 3 absolute terrible calls that swing the game for the Chiefs. And I think, one, Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes are the ones that, one, you care about and many of you want to see go down, and you're looking for it because it's such a thing as it compared to other teams, because other quarterbacks do it as well. And then I think the Chiefs are the team that you see the most. And their games are much more heightened to where I think you're looking for it and see it more because you see them more. No, I don't think every week they get calls preferential. I think there are times where it's bad officiating towards them as well. I think they get screwed on calls. I know many of you don't believe it or want to feel it. It is accurate. In the way you watch it. So no, I don't think it's an every week thing that they get calls all the time, that it's that they get stuff that that everybody else doesn't get. I think Josh gets preferential treatment. I think Lamar at times gets treatment. I think Mahomes does. I think a lot of the quarterbacks do. I think they get protected. So no, I don't think it is preferential treatment. I'm sorry. Tyler, let's get to your best bets. Steve Mills' best bets, big one, national championship game. What you got?
Yeah, I got 4 of them. Bad news for Sean Pendergast. The Irish are not going to win this one. I'm sorry, Sean. Buckeyes -7. I'm also on the under for this game. Under 46 is what I locked in at. And then 2 more here for you. Ohio State to score some amount of points on the first drive of the game. And then the last one, I like Ohio State's quarterback Will Howard to rush over 10.5 yards tonight against the Irish.
All right. The Will Howard, I like. It's weird. He does not run nearly as much as he did at K-State. That was a big part of his game. But I do think there will be pressure at times tonight where he might leak out. So that might not be a bad one. That might be a bad one. The under, well, I love.
In college, I think sacks count against the quarterbacks rushing.
Oh, that is true.
He'll get over 10.5. Lock it in.
He said lock it in. Lock that thing in.
I think. You might have to check on that. Not, it's too late now. You got it in.
You're in.
The under, for the most part, you know what? I don't know if I love that, actually. I just don't know how and what Ohio State's going to do to erupt. The coaches show coming up behind us, and then Area 45 as well after that. Clint, great job. Tyler, great job. I am Ron. The show, Hughley, as always, Houston. We love you, baby.
Always seems to know the way.
Tyler, there are options, man. Tyler, who is your player of the game?
Well, I can tell you who the hell my player of the game isn't, and that is anybody involved with the special teams unit of the Houston Texans. But my player of the game here...
Your player of the game's not Chris Boyd?
No, hell no. Anybody on special teams, just go sit in a corner and think about your life, man. But no, my player of the game is going to go to the group of fellas that might as well be wearing red and white, but they're wearing black and white. I'm going to go with the officiating crew from this divisional round matchup between the Chiefs and Texans up at Arrowhead.
Let it out, man.
Great job by y'all, man.